Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful week. It has been another hectic week in the Bravo universe, but I have someone absolutely fantastic to break it all down with me, Mary Payne Gilbert from the Pink Shade podcast. I am recording this just a few days more in advance than I normally do because I am traveling to Milwaukee, Wisconsin this weekend for a bat mitzvah. And those of you who follow my Instagram stories will see the text that my dad sent. Melting down about forgetting his pants. Oh my goodness. What a crazy, crazy man he is. I also am going to be on the Your Bish Therapist podcast this week coming out on Tuesday. We actually don't discuss Bravo at all. It's completely different. I talk a little bit about my work and a lot about how to remain positive, optimistic, and get involved in advocacy around this upcoming 2024 election. I know 2016 and 2020 were really rough on people. And so just some tools that you can use to help you get through it and also ways to channel your energy in things that actually make a difference. So go over there and check that out. So this week, I chat with Mary Payne about Vanderpump Rules, about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but I'm not going to be able to get to Summer House or Miami because it is taking place when I am already traveling. So we'll get to those next week, but did want to touch on Potomac. So I really enjoyed this week's episode. It was the last two. I think this trip to the DR has been really fun for the most part, and I've actually really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, there is good in this group of women. I just think there needs to be a little bit of a shakeup in order to get the bad out. I don't know what the bad is, but it's not working when they can't all film together. And I think why this trip is working is because they are filming together. Again, love Karen and Giselle's frenemy relationship. You know, we've always got Giselle telling Karen to kind of be on her side and Karen saying, you know, I ride the fence. I am the fence. Like, I'm not going to do it, but I still love you. I love that Mia is able to hang out with both groups of women and seem pretty natural doing so. She can be with Wendy and Candace and Karen, which is pretty shocking given the situation that transpired last season between her and Wendy with the throwing of the drink and the screaming at each other. So, you know, kudos to both of them to be able to move past that. And then, of course, I think Mia fits in a little bit more with Ashley and Robin and Giselle. But, you know, she can kind of go between the groups, and that was really fun. And so then when Wendy sort of told on her and said at a big group dinner, Ashley, Mia thinks you're a gold digger and you're not going to get divorced because you need the money, you know, that led to a very interesting conversation. The thing that I cannot get over is that a huge topic of discussion this week was the former NFL player Vernon Davis. This is apparently the man who is Karen's personal trainer, despite him not being an actual personal trainer. He's helping her with her inner thigh exercises. I can't even say that without laughing. It's so goofy. And then what's even crazier is that he's been in this sort of DM relationship with Ashley where they don't seem to hang out together, but they DM each other really flirty stuff. So we'll see what happens. I love when like actual celebrities and people outside the Bravo universe enter the Bravo sphere because it's a whole other, you know, exposure for them. And most of them are very shocked at how intense the fandom is. So we'll see if Vernon Davis gets some of that taste of the Bravo fandom. But this was just one of the things I could not stop laughing about. Also couldn't stop laughing that Michael refuses to be on the show so much that he won't even be on FaceTime with his kids for Ashley if cameras are present. I mean, talk about a boundary. And then the thing that I enjoyed probably the most was the juxtaposition between the tennis, the girls playing tennis, especially Mia showing up in heels, and then the other women doing skeet shooting. It was just, it was, mwah, chef's kiss. Loved every second of it. It was so fun. What isn't fun is to kind of watch Candace and Robin sit there and not being willing to hash anything out. I think this is all on Candace at this point. She won't admit that she was wrong. If, you know, Robin is really your friend and you were very upset with her actions, then you should speak to your friend about her actions. You don't need to go online and tweet about it. Maybe tweet about it later after you've had a conversation with her, maybe. But, you know, I think Candace at this point really cares what the viewers think. And she lives in on her phone. Like, you know, Jamal was supposed to be in the phone. Candace is in the phone. She's on Twitter. She's on Instagram. Like, come on, girl. Be in real life and be with your real friends. And I think what Robin did was really messed up to know about this potential affair that her husband had, him, you know, messing up with paying for another woman's hotel room. But then, you know, not talk about it, even though that subject was a subject matter on last season, just with a different person, with Chris Bassett, Candace's husband. I get why Candace is pissed, but bring that energy to Robin, or in fact, hold it together and wait until you start filming again and bring that energy to her in real life with cameras on you. But there is no excuse to just kind of go on Instagram or go on YouTube or whatever, you know, and just say really nasty shit about your friend. That's a shitty thing to do, even if I agree with the sentiments. All right. So as always, if you enjoy the podcast, go ahead, give it a 5-star rating and leave a kind review. If you want to share something with me, reach out to me at Mandy Slutsker on Instagram. And we'll take a quick break and then back with Mary Payne. Hi, everyone. I am here with one of my favorite people in the DMV area. She is an incredible podcaster, Mary Payne, host of the Pink Shade podcast, which covers Bravo, but also so many other reality shows, including Love After Lockup, 90 Day Fiancé, many different documentaries, and so much more. How are you doing?
Wow, you just made me sound so much more accomplished than I am.
You're very accomplished.
Oh my gosh. I'm doing great. We've been covering Love is Blind over on Pink Shade Prime, and man, I'm exhausted.
I know. I don't watch Love is Blind. Like, I can't take on anything other than what I'm already taking on with Bravo.
It's hard to add things. It's very hard to add things.
I finally added Traitors. I spent like a weekend binging it.
And isn't it so good?
It is. I've always loved it. It's just a time issue.
I know.
I'm running out of day. Like, I will have to stop sleeping.
And I don't know how people watch The Bachelor, because that's like 12 hours a week or something.
So
or Big Brother.
I can't. I just, yeah. As they've gotten younger and I've gotten older, it's just, it doesn't work anymore.
That's funny.
But I want to start out with asking your opinion on all of these different lawsuits we have going around. We've got the Brandi Glanville thing against Andy. We've got the Leah McSweeney thing against Andy and literally anyone that she can blame for her own problems. Mm-hmm. And then the Rachel lawsuit against Tom and Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, yep. Kind of thoughts.
Wow. It was just like the last couple of weeks have just been like the ladies at the Bravo docket. I've got to be like, we also have to go to work. Like, we can't keep up with all these. I was listening to them the last couple of days with the Tom Girardi. And then they also have recently covered the Carolyn Manzo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I get my news. But the thing about the Leah saying that Andy shows favoritism towards the housewives that do coke with him. I'm like, so you're telling me Karen Huger is coking it up with Andy because he loves Karen Huger. You know what I mean?
And yeah, also, I know. I'm just like imagining.
Dorinda is sort of, you know, you can imagine, but he fired her.
Excuse me, pause.
So I don't think it holds any weight. And I think that Leah doesn't act like a person in recovery, taking accountability for her own actions. We saw her on that first season saying, hey, I've been sober for 9 years, but I've decided to dip my toe into not being sober. Just like Candace Luann has dipped herself in and out. You got to be responsible for your own actions. And do I think Andy Cohen maybe has done cocaine in his life and maybe with some cast members? Probably. But I don't think he's getting coked up before his live, sometimes live television show. A lot of it I think is true, but I don't think it has anything to do with Leah McSweeney being on a TV show. I mean, the show she was on got canceled or she would have still been on it, you know?
Yeah. Also with drugs and Andy, I mean, the likelihood that he actually did it with fellow Bravo talent, especially in the last decade, like he's not dumb. Right.
Yeah. He also has little kids at home.
Well, that especially. Right. So if he's doing it when he's out and, you know, he's not in charge of the kids and whatever, that's his own prerogative. But right. I don't think it's involved in the workspace in any way, shape or form. She would have to really have proof. And right. It just doesn't sound like there is. There's just rumors. And that's not right. enough, you know.
Yeah, and for Brandy to be like, he sexually propositioned me, I was like, I think that if he and Kate Chastain like made a joke and FaceTimed you, like, we're going to have a three-way. Oh. I mean, he talks about all of these things in all of his books, and he's pretty open about it. I listen to his radio show, you know, almost every day, and I don't think he's trying to act like he's a choir boy, but I also don't think he would jeopardize his fame, his job, any of it to, you know, blow some rails with Leah McSweeney. I just don't.
Yeah, it's so dumb. You're right. She's, and I know it's rude to say this, but I believe it. I believe she's a dry drunk. And I know that's a really mm-hmm. nasty term to use, but it's people who aren't, they are sober, but they're not working a program. She claims to work a program, but that requires, you know, taking accountability, which I don't believe she does. It's always someone else's fault that she has problems. It's never her. And we watched her do that on the show. I mean, she blames her mom. She blames everyone around her except for herself.
Right.
You made me do this, or this is why I acted out. It's like at some point, it's you, right?
Right.
What about Rachel suing Tom and Ariana?
Now that she's got a case there, you know, just legally, as far as, you know, with passing things along. I mean, you know, with me in the last few years of having young kids and having to explain to them the internet is forever. And if somebody sends you a nudie pic, now you have it on your phone. And guess who owns that phone? Me. Right. So, you know, I think about, you know, as parents of kids this age, we sort of have been learning as we go, like, if your kid's forehead is on a picture or anything like that, these are all things that can be like felonies. So you really, really have to think that she does have a case, especially in California being a two-party state where both people have to agree to be recorded. And according to her, she did not agree to be recorded. She didn't even know that video existed. And then, I do believe Ariana, in a moment of fury, probably sent it to a couple of people when she got it on her phone. So at the very least, from what the Bravo DACA ladies said, is that Ariana saw it on Sandoval's phone, forwarded it to herself, then forwarded it to Raquel to say, hey, I know what you did, like, you're dead to me or whatever. So at the very least, she's now sent it around twice. And then did she send it to other people? Probably. In a moment of anger? Would we all have done the same?
Right? We don't know that.
So, yeah, there's a case there. There is a case there.
But it's such a shitty case. It's not like it's such a different thing if you distribute it and it gets out in the public, right? Like, the focus was the cheating. It wasn't the sex tape. Like, right. That was not, no one's shaming her for doing that. It's the guy that it was with. And right. So, and how, what do you mean, intentionally inflicting emotional distress? She intentionally inflicted emotional distress on Ariana. Where right. are Ariana's damages? Like,
right. But what she did wasn't illegal.
Well, right? But none of this is illegal. Like, this is a civil lawsuit. This is a civil lawsuit.
But sending those videos around is illegal. And Tom recording her without her consent is illegal.
So then get the police involved. Because if it's legal, an illegal or illegal action, then if it's criminal, then you have to involve the government, right? Mm-hmm. The state. They have to bring the case. But in a civil lawsuit,
maybe the time is up for her to have contacted the police about it. So now she's taking it civilly. I just think that they're especially with Tom, because you can't actually prove Ariana is the one that sent it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. But especially for Tom recording her without her knowledge, there is a case there. I think that's
really shitty. But bringing Ariana into it when you messed with her entire life and she didn't get this. This no one saw this. None of us have seen this. This isn't like plastered all over the internet.
Right.
The emotional damage that she had was because she slept with her friend's boyfriend for 7 months and acted like it wasn't happening.
Right.
I mean, that's why,
all true too. That's all
so
true too. Yeah.
It's in. I think I would feel very differently if we weren't hearing from her regularly. Hearing from Rachel. It's now that she's got this podcast and she's talking about the importance of investing in her mental health and moving forward. And now it's like, no, you're going backward. Then stop saying
that's true.
That you're
trying to
move forward when you're trying to litigate this whole thing. For what? What do you want to get? How much money is enough? You think these two people have a lot of money? No.
They can't even sell a house.
NBC Universal has money. So if there was a real problem, that's where you would go. But she's not going after production.
Them.
She's not doing any of that. So I think it's shitty. I think it's really shitty in general when people bring civil lawsuits that are unnecessary, that aren't going to help them emotionally at all.
No. No, I think she just thinks, like, I've got to find a way to jump on this money train. Everybody else made a lot of money, and now I'm not making as much money. So she got some legal advice, and she's trying it.
I don't even think she's paying her lawyers. They're Bethany's lawyers. So money train. So go do your podcast. Write a book. I don't know. Why do you have to? And also, why is everyone deserving of making money from Scandoval or not deserving? Like, if you made money, it's because we have a capitalist system and you had a product that people wanted to listen to, buy, whatever. I have a Send It to Daryl sweatshirt. It is the single most comfortable sweatshirt I have ever owned in my life.
And it's about that video. It's about that video, because that's what she said to Lala. If you have this video, you know, I think when it happened,
cease and desist directly to Lala's email and not to
her lawyer. to lots of the blanket to the cast members. Like, if you send this out, you will be, you know, charged with revenge porn or whatever. And no one did, or we would have all seen it.
Exactly.
If just one person would have leaked it, we would have all seen it. Yeah.
No one leaked
it. I don't want to see it, by the way.
No one wants Rachel to be shamed for having sex. I mean, or virtual sex, or I don't know what you call it anymore. But the problem is just who she was with. But this whole, like, I can't, everyone's made money except me. Well, maybe because you're the one that was doing the wrong thing and people don't want to buy your products anymore.
Right. You're right. You're right. I know. I guess I just do see that she has something against Sandoval for recording her without her consent.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even aware of it. So that's the biggest part of the case. She can't prove that Ariana forwarded it to her, even though obviously she did. I think the biggest case
she
is
might
against,
be able to with phone records and stuff.
Yeah.
What I think is just, like, if you really were upset about this, you should have done it. Not now. You shouldn't have waited in exactly a year. Do it earlier and go against Tom only. Don't go against Ariana, right? And I just think it's, like, so dumb. No one was talking about the sex tape. Literally no one. This was not a topic of conversation throughout Scandoval.
You're right.
It wasn't part of it. So now she's, like, making everyone talk about it again. If it was really
bad.
Yeah, now
we're like, where is it? Let's see
emotionally damaging to her. Why are you bringing it up? And again, so now it's in everyone's mouth.
Yeah, true. You know, who could bring it up? It could be Stassi and that boyfriend. He had a sex tape of her. Remember?
Yes.
Lisa Vanderpump had to buy it for $450 or whatever it was.
It was so crazy. Weird. Isn't that like illegal? Isn't that extortion? Like, wouldn't that be something that you go to the police for and you say, this person owns this illegal tape, illegal recording of me?
What was his name?
Frank.
Frank. I was like, what was his name? It was like Bert, but it was Frank. Yeah.
Bert is actually one of Tom Schwartz's triplet brothers.
Yes,
that's right. This is crazy. The amount of knowledge I have on Vanderpump Rules is insane. I know I just came down hard on Rachel, and I do have empathy for her, but I truly believe that she is talking out of both sides of her mouth, with saying, like, I want to move forward, and I want to invest in mental health, and I want to, but then, like, you're now making yourself a victim again. You're saying you're a victim of Tom, you know, you're saying he groomed you. Come on. I mean, is he manipulative? Totally. Mm-hmm. He totally is. But you are also an adult. Like, you know, didn't you learn in your stint in the facility, like, how to stay away from those kind of people and recognize people that are dangerous to you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot there. It's a lot of layers.
Okay. Want to dive into Vanderpump Rules. Got to get your thoughts on Sheena. You know.
Sheena Shay.
And I really found it interesting to find out that when she was, first of all, that she was struggling financially during the pandemic, which to me just reeks of, you don't know how to manage money and you should hire someone that can do that for you.
Yeah, because they make a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You should always have money accessible with the amount that you're making. It's just coming in and it's going right out. I think she's got her whole family on payroll. That is not that's not a smart move. And that Tom Sandoval helped her out. But she said, like, I can't keep hating him for you. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to sort of how Ariana is dealing, I mean, how Sheena's dealing with it, and then how she's interacting with Ariana about her feelings?
I think it was interesting to see Sheena have, like, such real tears over this, like, really upset, not performative, not for the cameras, really, like, feeling really devastated over the choice she was having to make. Now, she has said always, like, and she's been on her podcast and she's been everywhere saying, you know, Ariana's my friend first. Well, I don't know if Ariana was her friend first. She probably introduced those two.
No, it was Tom Sandoval that was her friend first.
But it's interesting that all of a sudden within a year, she's like, I can't keep hating him for you. And
within
I don't know.
This is 5 months post.
That's right. And I don't know if it's because they are on a show together and she does want to keep making the show because it is her income, right? She's been doing it for 10 years. Like, what else is she going to do? So it is interesting where she's like, for the sake of the show, I feel like we've got to make a path forward to include him. And I think that's a big part of her decision. I think if the show wasn't involved, she'd be like, fuck that guy. I never speak to him again.
Interesting. I totally have a different take.
Mm.
I don't think she, like, cuts people off. I think she's someone who has a lot of difficulty with that, especially if there are good experiences that she has had. Even in relationships, it's almost like the guys have to walk away from her. She doesn't walk away from them. Mm. And, well, except for Shay.
But she had cut Sandoval off. She had, and, you know, we saw at BravoCon, you know, we had the two sides, right? And the side, Lisa Vanderpump's side, was Sandoval and Schwartz and Sheena and Brock. And I think that told, now, somebody had to sit with Sandoval and his kilt and his fake tattoos. Somebody had to sit over there with him. But it's interesting, right? Because as we're seeing on the show, Lala is trying to give him a little grace. She's trying to kind of confront him and get him to, right? But she wasn't on that side. She was over there with Ariana and James and Allie, right? And I understand they had to split it up in some way. But it did seem at BravoCon, from our experience watching that panel, it did seem that Sheena and Brock were kind of not like team Tom Sandoval because nobody is, but it's sort of like we've moved past it. We've moved on. And I think they're both like, also, this is how we make money is being on the show together. And it makes a better show if somebody can hang out with them. It can't be like, my understanding what's happened on Potomac, nobody will hang out with anybody. Then mm-hmm. you don't have a show, you know?
Totally. It's so interesting, though, that you bring up like the show is the reason. I feel like she's just in pain because she has difficulty cutting people off. And also, what's that saying they say about having like not disdain, like being so angry at someone?
Mm-hmm.
That's like taking poison every day and assuming and like hoping the other person
will die.
And yeah. it's actually killing you to hold right. on to that hate.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening. I don't think she's someone that does very well with negative, like hateful emotions. And mm-hmm. her biggest mistake is trying to process them with Ariana. And mm-hmm. I think she needs to talk to a therapist. She can talk to husband. She can talk mm-hmm. to her mom, her sister. But do not bring up your pain related to this man to Ariana. That's not fair. She's not the right person for this.
I think she's really working through it step by step as we're watching it. And I think it would be best if we saw that her going to stepping into a therapist's office instead.
Sorry, I'm laughing because so while we're recording, I get a message that my dad sent to our entire family.
Yes.
We're all meeting tomorrow for a bat mitzvah. And him and Joyce got there early. He goes, checked into the hotel. I forgot pants. And then it has two pants emojis. And he goes, I only have one pair of travel pants.
So he didn't forget pants because he's wearing pants.
But he forgot, like, so in Florida, they wear shorts all the time. And so think he only brought shorts.
Get thee to a Nordstrom rack. Get thee to a TJ Maxx.
I'm like, why am I getting this random message that my dad forgot pants?
Right. It's like that commercial. Like, it seems like I forgot something as that guy standing there with
yes,
no pants.
Yes, with no pants.
Yeah.
And then he oh, my God. Oh, that's very funny. Anyway, so that whole thing with Sheena is just really interesting. I know everyone thinks that she's not loyal, but it's just loyalty is just – it's different. It's it doesn't have to be this, like – not ride or die, but just she's going through emotions and just let her deal with them. She should just deal with them privately. I mean, not because she's on the show, but in general, like not with Ariana. That's what I feel like. I'm not going to shame her for feeling how she feels. It's just work it out.
It's rough. It's rough because you know that she's just sort of like, why can't we all just go and have dinner together and we just don't have to be best friends. Like we don't have to like hang out, but like he could just be included. I think that's kind of what she does. That whole like back to back and the breathing. Listen, I have friends that are guys. I'm not going back to back and breathing and syncing up my breath with them. No. Sandoval and Short should have done that together, and Lala and Sheena should have done that together.
Mm-hmm. Although I did really enjoy Lala and Schwartz, like
bonding. Yeah.
Okay. So then here's another question. So when that picture was posted by a fan who saw everyone together and Sheena was with, like, had her arm around Sandoval.
Right.
Do you believe Ariana should have taken the heat off and said, hey, like, we're all good. Sheena's good. This was just a picture with a fan.
No.
Really? Okay.
No, that's not her place to do that. She wasn't there. Who gives a shit? No. Ariana doesn't need to make a statement for the people. She doesn't speak for the cast. I mean, you know what I mean? She doesn't need to go out there.
No, I don't mean to speak for the people. I mean to get the heat off her friend Sheena, who is being pummeled. Okay.
No. What was she supposed to do? Just go on her Instagram and be like, hi, guys. It's okay if she – I mean, no, that's dumb. She wasn't there. She wasn't involved. She doesn't need to make a statement. No.
I feel like of all the people, Sheena is the one that is most obsessed with, like, her name being in the press and getting negative attention from fans. Like, she wants the fans to love her so much.
She's a people pleaser,
yeah. It's the reason why I think so many don't.
Right. Well, that's how generally it goes. The more somebody's like me, like me, like me, like me, like me, you're like, get away.
Right.
You're bugging. Yeah.
I know. But if I were on a show, I would also be obsessed with what people thought of me. I wouldn't be able to like put the phone away, so to speak.
Right. I mean, we're podcasters and I get one bad review for, you know, 50 nice ones. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that person said this, they said that, you know. and you dwell on it. So I can't imagine on that kind of a scale, on a show like a scale that big, how you would feel every single day. You would really have to have some hardcore therapy or some sort of, don't put Google alerts for yourself. Just let your PR person tell you if there's something you need to address, you know?
Right. Lala seems to have really good boundaries with social media. And I feel like all of us have something to learn from Lala in that regard. And Ariana, too. My goodness. Like,
yeah,
it's sad to watch Sheena be so upset about the things that that people are saying. It's like people like us. I mean, not us, but it's our people who are on the Bravo accounts, that follow the Bravo news, that, you know, have opinions. And why are you sharing them so publicly with Sheena? Why are you like blasting every little thing? We just feel like we have to be mean and angry about Bravo all the time. And I don't think we do.
I think we can just have a podcast to say what we want, but I don't think you need to tippity-type it on your keyboard.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the idea that Sandoval and Rachel, this is so crazy, what he's saying is they didn't have the affair with the intention of hurting anyone, but that the way everyone reacted to them was intentionally to cause pain to Sandoval and Rachel.
I think Sandoval needs to go to the Promises Malibu for about 3 months. I think he, too, could use some work on himself. He is a narcissist. He is. And he's trying to pretend like he's got empathy, but he doesn't know how. He's like Erica, who just very openly said, I don't know how to have empathy. Please teach me. But he can't see it. I mean, that conversation that he had with Sheena, where they had that big fight in the Surah Alley, you know, when she was like, you're a narcissist. And he goes, well, that's what Lala is. Duh. I was like, okay, what? We're not talking about Lala. You know, I did like the fight on the yacht between, you know, Lala and Sandoval. Say what you want about Lala, drunk or sober, she's going to read you for filth and she's going to tell you like it is, whether she loves you or she hates you. She's going to say it. And everything she said to him was true, you know, and she's like, you're a groomer, you're a liar, you're this, you're that, you know, and he's like, yeah, but I only faked it for 6 months and you faked it for 7 years. She's like, what are you talking about? I was with this man, like I lived with him. We had a child. I wasn't faking anything. Yes, at the beginning, she was, in fact, lying about the relationship and all that, but she's owned all that. And she's come around, I think, to seeing what it was. Right. And I think that's why she may have a speck of empathy for Rachel. Mm-hmm. But she's like, wow, she went through the same thing I went through. I know a lot of it was performative for the cameras to try to get Rachel back on the show. But I think probably truly in her heart, she's like, everything they're calling her, I've been called the same thing. Right. So Lala, I think, can kind of bring it back around to have empathy for other people. But I think that fight between her and Sandoval was good, actually. I think it actually moved the ball a little bit.
It did. He really, and the fact that he could only admit that he was a hypocrite to the camera during a confessional, but not to her, was so telling. It's like he needed months to process that.
He's
wild.
It's going to be a couple of years before he gets there. It's going to be a couple of years. He's not seeing it now. I mean, it's a year later. He's still not seeing it. Not in the time that they're filming. I'm talking like now, like when he's getting on the Vile Files and stuff. Like he's not, still not seeing it, I don't feel.
I know. I don't know if he'll ever see it because I think he's got this issue where he has to view himself, where he always views himself as the victim in a situation or the person that was wronged. Right. He made the right choices and he did things, you know, not to hurt anyone. And people were intentionally causing him pain. You could make the same argument that he was intentionally causing Ariana pain. It's like, no, I was so in love. Well, you knew what this would do to her and you continued to do it anyhow. So what is that? Is that not intentional? But he just can't.
It's too logical for him. Yeah. It's too logical.
He's not a very logical person. Oh my gosh, what a mess. I mean, are you enjoying the show?
Yes.
I am too.
I love it. Even when it was bad, I loved it, but I'm really loving it now that it's good.
I love it because I feel like we're finally seeing their real lives. We're seeing them look at their phones, right? They're all on this boat, all staring at their phones, no one talking to each other, dealing with all kinds of stuff, you know, watching people say mean things to them on Instagram and their live reactions.
They talk about the show.
Yes.
They talk about the scandal.
This is their real lives. This is what they're actually doing. This is the conversations I've always wanted. That one season, I think it was season 8, where they tried to kind of recreate the show and bring new young blood in. And that did not work because none of those people would hang out at those restaurants anymore.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know. And it's you know, Lala was a hostess. No, she wasn't. I mean, you know what I mean? Like all of that, the fakery, like we're past it. These are reality stars. Let's talk about, it's a show about them being reality stars. If you want to do, you know, I understand that, you know, the new show is The Valley or whatever, but, you know, I think you and I have said a long time ago, they should have split this show and just keep Vanderpump Rules rotating like Menudo, bringing in new cast members, the people that actually work there, and then keep the old cast as a whole separate show because we are very interested in them because we've been watching them for so long. They're all 40 now. Like, we're interested, you know?
Yeah, I'm interested. I'll watch The Valley. I'll see. I'm curious.
I'm going to watch it. I just got to see what's happening.
Yeah,
what's happening
I got to know what Jax did that finally was enough for Brittany to walk away.
He's just a bad husband. And I will tell you that over the summer, I was listening to a podcast, and I can't remember whose podcast it was. It could have been Heather McDonald's, but Jax was – it was Heather McDonald's. And Jax was on there as a guest, and he was saying the two worst things anybody could do for a marriage would be in a rock band and open a bar. Well, he's done one of them. So just like he told me, podcasts are stupid, and somebody let me know when a podcaster ever makes any money, and now he has a podcast. So you never know, you know, what Jax has done, what he's going to say, what he's going to double back on, how he's going to tell you he's changed and a good guy, but now his wife has left him. So, yeah.
I'm surprised that they made it this far. And you know what? I bet that they'll get back together. I bet something will happen. I mean, she is a sucker for him. She is willing to take him back and it's her own fault at this point. Like, she knew who he was. She knew who he was when he cheated on her with an elderly woman who was, like, comatose in a hospital bed.
Well, he didn't bang the elderly woman. Let's make that clear.
Before we get into Beverly Hills, I do want to ask you about Summer House. You don't watch Summer House, but you are in a marriage with someone who is sober.
Yes, almost 10 years. Praise God.
Question about that.
Okay.
So Carl and Lindsay have been very good friends for a very long time, and they got together and they got engaged last summer. Or not this past summer, 2 summers ago.
I met her at BravoCon. She was extremely tall and thin.
Yeah.
Very tall. I was like, oh, wow. Yes.
He's very tall. So it works, you know, or did work. Yeah. He has been sober for over 3 years. His brother died from an overdose.
Wow.
And a few months later, he got sober himself. And he did it kind of in the public eye. And he went back on the show sober. And it was really hard at first. Right? He wouldn't go out. When everyone went out, you know, it was like a little awkward.
Right.
Well, in the first weekend that they're there, he goes out with everyone.
This current season.
Okay. The first weekend that him and Lindsay are in the house, they go out. And I think it's because he's more comfortable in his sobriety. And so they're in the car, and Lindsay has an issue with all the other people in the house. And she feels like the girls, they all went in one car, and then she went in a car with the guys. And she's thinking, she's being paranoid, they're talking about me. She's letting Carl know, oh, I think this is what's going on. And he tries to kind of reassure her, I don't really think that's it. And she felt that he was dismissing her, and the way that he was acting reminded her of Carl on cocaine.
Oh, geez.
And she accused him of not being sober. And she didn't just do it to him. She was talking to everyone about it. And she left early and said, and he reminds me of cocaine Carl. Okay.
This is her fiance.
This is her fiance.
Okay.
So he stays out. She goes back. The friend that she goes back with calls him and are like, where are you? And he's like, oh, we're in the car. We're about maybe 10 minutes away. He sounds sober. And this friend is like, I think he's sober. Mm-hmm. Okay. He goes to bed. She sleeps in a different room. And mm-hmm. in the morning, she comes and she brings him a bottle of water as if he needs a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. And he says, like, oh, thanks, but I don't need water. Yeah. And she's like, I brought you a bottle of water. You don't even thank me? Okay. And then she proceeds to relitigate how she felt that he was acting the night before as if he was on something. And that's mm-hmm. and he got upset, obviously, but he kept a very like cool head and he decided to go for a run. Mm-hmm. And she watches this back in real time and doesn't really apologize. She says, I'm sorry for the words that I used. Mm-hmm. As someone who's in a relationship, I think what she's trying to do is say like, oh, when you're with someone who is an addict, you always worry that maybe they could go back to it. And I think that's what she's trying to get sympathy out of viewers for. But mm-hmm. the viewers are not witnessing it that way because she, oh, by the way, the whole time that she's accusing him, she's drunk as a skunk.
Mm, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thoughts on just like that, because, well, you know, well, then finally, one last thing. At BravoCon, she wanted him to get the Tom Sandoval treatment, and she worked real hard to try and get people to be really angry at him because he
broke off their engagement. Yes,
on camera, and it blindsided her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now your thoughts. Okay,
all that's fine and good. I don't know. I can only speak to the part you're asking me about, which is the part about like accusing him of using when he's a sober person. That's absolutely in the moment, not at all what you should do. Luckily for me, in my case, knock on wood, my husband's almost 10 years sober. He's never had a relapse. A lot of people will say relapse is part of recovery. Not really. You're in recovery or you're not. And some people will relapse, of course. But the line has to be very clear with your spouse or your child, or whoever you're with. Like, if you relapse, these are the consequences. Are the consequences I'm going to get drunk and start calling you Cocaine Carl and then start like accusing you of being on cocaine and then telling everybody, especially with the camera crew around, that you're on cocaine? That's very damaging. And it shows, I don't know, the way that I think she should have handled it would be obviously be mad at him, sleep in the other room because maybe he's being a jerk and has nothing to do with being on cocaine or being on water. She just, the next morning, should have been like, I was really upset with you last night because of the what you were saying to me. It reminded me of those days. It really was like triggering for me from in those days when you were on drugs and the way you treated me. And then he would say, I can 100% assure you I was not on anything. And he does, you know, have it on him to say to her, I can give you XYZ while I wasn't. You could talk to this person, that person. Like, he needs to reassure her because she's got trauma from it, I'm sure, you know, being with the partner that has.
But they were never together while he was using. They were friends, but they weren't in a romantic partnership.
Okay, so there's no trauma there for her to look back on, like,
That's what I'm thinking.
When I trusted you when we were together and you were on drugs and did these horrible things, now that's triggering for me because I'm remembering and it's making me think, are you going to do that to me again? But it sounds like he never did anything to her when he was on drugs.
I mean, he may have been not nice to her. They were best friends. Maybe he would act really, really mean when they were hanging out. I don't know.
Right.
But it's not the same as being in a partnership.
No, and he didn't do any damaging things in their partnership to make her be like, hey, it's going to take me several years to gain the trust back. It doesn't sound like that's the case. Yeah, it just sounds like to me she was all the way wrong and drunk. And even if she did think she had suspicion that he was using, it's in the moment, not the time to bring it up. It's the next day. Yeah, she has every right to question him because they are in a partnership. She has every right to question him and he has every right to prove himself, and she could say, I thought that because of XYZ, but it's also really, really hard to make your point when you're also drunk as a skunk, you know, to be like, this reminds me of you, like, you can't even speak, you know, it's like Dorinda, right? A lot mm-hmm. of like, oh, I'll tell you something about you. You're like, okay, your lipstick is smeared all over your face. You don't have a leg to stand on. Yeah, I think that it sounds like to me she was just all the way wrong and butthurt about something. She thought those girls were talking about her in the car and she wanted him to fully have her back. And some reason in her drunk brain, she was like, he's not standing up for me.
Mm-hmm. And it's always that. It's always that. She feels like he's being dismissive, but she just mm-hmm. needs people to basically, she wants yes people around her. That's okay. what she wants. Okay. And he's been that in the relationship. And
now he's over it.
I think he's kind of like, whoa, what about me? What about my feelings? And if every time you feel I'm dismissive, you're going to accuse me of being on drugs when I have done everything in my power to not be.
Right.
Is diminishing the work he needs.
Yeah, he needs some accolades for the work that he's done and like every day is doing.
Not to be
accused of something when he just doesn't agree with her.
Yeah, I think other members of the cast have told her she should go to Al-Anon meetings and learn mm-hmm. about recovery. And I don't think she did.
Well, it sounds like maybe they don't need to be together.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of people that don't need to be together, Kyle and Mauricio. Mm-hmm. Kyle said at the reunion, part two, that she doesn't owe any of her castmates an explanation of what happened in her bedroom. What do you think about that? Do you think she owes them an explanation?
No.
Really?
I don't. And I did an episode of my podcast today where I talked with Jodine Weber about this. And she's got real, real strong opinions on Kyle. And I just think like I was really kind of taken aback about how strongly she felt like negatively towards Kyle. Because I feel like, why is it everybody's business? She has done a lot on camera. She also is always like, be honest. And I think she's being as honest as she can be with the information that she has. I think that, like she said at the Eagle Woman, which is just like hard to even say without laughing, but at the Eagle Woman ceremony, she said, yeah, we've had a hard time. And then she said, you know, I was just starting to process it myself. And I did also like the point Kyle made to Sutton, which was, how about just, hey, it looks like you're going through something hard, how can I be a friend? Instead of, why are you working out? Why are you getting tattoos? Why are you not drinking? Like, who cares? These are my choices. She went through something really traumatic with her friend, you know, committing suicide. She went through something really traumatic with that. And then I think that what we're sort of not putting into the mix is the whole thing about that giant lawsuit that Mauricio had against him. And she signs everything. So how's that really going to affect her life? And that could be a huge sticking point of what's going on here with her being like, you've got a $40 million lawsuit that's threatening our entire livelihood, and I've signed these papers trusting you. I think there's an element of that where she has just lost the trust with him and doesn't think he's as cute as he thinks he is.
Interesting. You know? So you think part of the trust loss isn't just infidelity, but lost through like financial and
he's possible, put them in a bad situation, I think. With the agency and just we're going to open one every other week. And okay, but why this, you know what I mean?
That makes a lot of sense. I'm totally with you on that.
I think it's several things. Yeah. I think there was also some infidelity, but I think that's been going off and on for years. And I think that at some point they may have just had like, this is our life. We own these houses. We have these kids. We get along. And at some point, it just became so brazen. And then with this huge lawsuit that he had where he made a shady real estate deal, and we saw that clip of her saying she got her real estate license as well, so she understands exactly what that is that he did. I think it all kind of tumbled together with, in a few years, Porsche's out of the house, and now what? I've got nothing for myself. I've tied everything up in this man who may have put me in, you know, a precarious financial state. And I've got these kids who are all going to leave me. And now also he's like been brazen about his cheating. Now what? What do I have? You know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women, you know, I'm around Kyle's age and you know, your kids leave the nest and all that. I think you do start to look at it like, what do I have for myself? And then she looks at it and is like, this isn't so great. My issue with the Morgan thing is not if she's a late in life lesbian, fine, do your thing. Divorce your husband, be with this woman if that makes you happy. I think that's wonderful. My main issue with the Morgan thing really, and it's really not for me to have an issue with, who cares what I think, it's the age gap.
Yes.
And I would feel the same way if it was man, two men, two women, man, woman, man. I would feel the same way no matter what. I think that the whole Sarah Paulson and Taylor, what's her name? I think that's a crazy age difference.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just giving another example of two women. I think there's so many cases of it, and it just generally doesn't work out. I mean, look at Erica and Tom.
Yeah, something feels weird about it to me. I just think it's weird, and I think it would be weird for her daughters.
Yes, that's what I think.
But in terms of her not owing anyone, why did she think then that Denise owed all of the women an explanation of what happened in Denise's bedroom between her and Brandy? That's the issue, is she holds other people to a different standard than she holds herself. And she's like, well, I've given more to the show than you. That's why I can choose when to withhold, is what I felt like the argument that she was making. Mm-hmm. And okay, well, then don't start, you know, putting other people's feet to the fire when you think that they're lying or you think that they're not being forthcoming.
Why did that Denise thing get brought up initially? I can't remember. And do you wonder if Denise was starting some shit up about Mauricio and she's like, okay, you're going to start that. Let me tell you what I've got on you.
I can't remember why Denise did that. It came up because Brandy came to like her house when they were packing and it was like gossip. They were like, oh my God, oh my God. And Brandy made it sound as if it was almost non-consensual too, which was also like bad. Like she came on to me. She, you know, very weird, like almost like it was predatory, which.
Right. Speaking of people that don't take accountability.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of wondering, like, that was just brought up to be gossip just to kind of like take Denise down a peg. I don't know.
Well, and Denise kept on saying bravo, bravo, fucking bravo, and not talking about her real life. And I think that was like pissing everyone off.
You know, Denise just got a real good facelift. She looks great. She looks great. But I'm just like, did Big Pharma have to help her out? I mean, did she have an anesthesiologist? I mean, did she do that facelift in a
No, there were lasers. He was he was using magnets.
Magnets and lasers to lift that face up? I'd like to do that. Yeah.
That is so funny.
Whenever I see anything, I'm like, what about Big Pharma chasing you around? You better watch out. They're going to get you.
Oh, my gosh. What about Kyle and Dorit insinuating that Sutton had a drinking problem and then acting as if they didn't do that?
I did like how Sutton said to Kyle, like, of course you didn't say it exactly.
Right.
You know, she let Dorit say it. Listen, Dorit flat out said, does she put vodka in her coffee? That is not insinuating. That is saying you think someone has a drinking problem. I loved Sutton's comeback. I don't know how many carcasses on the floor in the morning.
Yes.
This just implies that Dorit's walking around her house just throwing limes on the floor. Just like, woo, I'm gonna throw these limes on the floor. It was a funny visual. Yeah, I think Sutton really stood her own so far. I don't know what's going to happen next week when she has like a blood pressure drop or whatever happens with her. But I think she really has held her own against everything coming at her. I think she looked the best at the reunion. I'm a Sutton apologist. I don't know, because she's like Southern and kooky, and so am I. So I don't know. But yeah, I think Sutton has held her own. I don't think they were insinuating. Listen, Sutton doesn't help herself. She does go around with her own mixer in her bag. And she did show up with a roadie to a champagne brunch because she just wasn't going to drink Brut or whatever she said it was. You know, she's like, I'm not going to drink that. Corbel or whatever it was. She doesn't help her case.
No, but, she doesn't. But,
you know,
honestly, for them to be like, well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Come on, Kyle.
Yeah, that's you did.
Kyle plays games. She knows how to be sneaky.
Yeah, that's true.
But that does make her a good housewife. Do you think Garcelle stepped over the line questioning Dorit's home invasion?
No. I think that. Sorry. No. I think everybody's been talking about it for a couple of years. And I just want somebody to be like, okay, look, we all know the rumors that PK staged it. And that's why he thinks you should just get over it, because he knew you were never in any real danger. But she doesn't know that, and she did have a gun to her head. Whether PK knows that the person was ever going to shoot her, she didn't know that at the time. And, you know, there is a good point about they left the phone at the gate because it has a tracker on it. But, you know, most criminals will just turn that phone off, take out the SIM card, and take the phone just to sell it, you know. So,
Yeah, but I appreciated that Garcelle said it in the open. See, what I think is shady is if she were to have insinuated it on Instagram or something and not bring it up on the show. What I like about Garcelle,
they love to bring stuff up on Twitter.
And she brings stuff up on the show, and that's what I want. That's what I appreciate, even though it's very probably hurtful to the person who went through the trauma to have it questioned. There mm-hmm. are some things that seem iffy, and I wish she had even said, like, and isn't PK having some money troubles? Like, that's the real thing, but I don't think she was able to go the whole way.
They tried. I had to ask her, like, is your hair brown because you can't afford to get it dyed?
I know. They tried. They tried. But it's just...
I think Andy, let me tell you what, my understanding, you know, she was 2 hours late to the reunion and they're all sitting there waiting. And then she's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And they said, I'm not going to be long-winded. And he's like, we're already over. It's like, it's your fault. Like, I think he is over her. Now, whether that leads to her getting fired, I don't know. I think she didn't do herself any favors by saying she and PK are in the best place ever because he's sober now. She should have been like, we're in a terrible place. It's awful to try to stay on, you know.
And this was, I think, when he was living with Boy George at the hotel, was actually during BravoCon, because that's when all the rumors started going that people had seen him at a hotel and that he was not living with her. And I feel like that was happening during that time. And it sounds like maybe they reconciled more recently. But man, it is, what a mess.
It's interesting. She's very supportive of PK not drinking, but she's not. She's just like, it's just weird. You're not drinking. You got tattoos. That's weird.
The cognitive dissonance that these women have.
For her to say, nobody here is educated. And I'm like, Andy Cohen went to college. Sutton went to college. You went to college. Anna Marie went to college. Crystal went to college.
Come on.
Like, more people went to college than didn't. What are you talking about? Like, I think I'm the only one that went to college. And they're like, she's a nurse anesthetist. What are you talking about?
And if you were so educated, wouldn't you know that it's rude to say certain words to Black women and that... Like, just be a little more,
she's,
I don't know.
She's never going to get it.
Not
never
call an Asian woman a child bride. Like, those things. And, you know.
She's never going to get it. She's never going to get it. She's an unconscious Karen. She is. Mm-hmm. She's not trying to learn. She's not trying to hear. She's, like Andy said, sometimes it's better in these cases just to listen. And I think over the last few years, we've all learned that. Like, hey, this is not actually something I understand, so I shouldn't spout my opinion on it. Nope, she just spouts her opinion anyway.
But she takes every affront as if it's an affront directly to her. So if mm-hmm. Garcelle doesn't feel comfortable sharing something, that's something against Dorit. Not just the fact that Garcelle has an overall uncomfortable feeling generally with the whole group. Mm-hmm. It's, oh, it's me specifically. Like, she has to take it all on. And you didn't see Erica and Kyle saying, well, why don't you trust me? They listened.
Yeah.
She's.
I think the best example we've seen on this show, and I think I've said this to you before, mm-hmm. of somebody just listening and getting it was when the whole thing happened with the auction, and Kyle said to Garcelle, like, you didn't pay your bill, and then Garcelle sat her down and explained why, as a Black woman, that was offensive to her, different than it would be offensive to Dorit or somebody else who probably wouldn't pay a bill. You know, she explained it, and Kyle really listened and got it, and I think it's one of that. Okay, thank you for explaining that. Now I understand. I'm very sorry for what I did to you. Not just, I'm sorry if that hurt your feelings. I am sorry I did that because I didn't know, but now I do know. And I think that was one of the best examples we've ever seen on these shows of somebody actually listening and getting it and apologizing and changing, you know?
Yeah,
Dorit doesn't have it in her.
That.
Dorit doesn't have it in her.
Dorit just doesn't have a lot in her. But I love the character that she is. I just wish she could, like, tone parts of it down and others up. Like, I love when she's insane with outfits and when she, I don't know, her drink order is so funny to me. Like, there's so many funny things about her. She's not intentionally being funny, but I find her to be quite humorous. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there's the annoying parts, but they don't annoy me as much as I think they annoy other people. Mm-hmm. And this time, like, this season, she was more annoying than she was, like, unintentionally funny, and that's a problem for me. But
yeah, I don't know if they'll give her another chance. I don't know if she'll call and beg for her job. I don't know.
No. Okay, Erica and Tom's victims. You watched the Erica show, Bet It All on Blonde.
Sure did.
Was it 2 hours?
It was two parts. I don't know if it was 2 hours. I was last night at like just like, when is this going to end? I've got to go to bed. And am I going to be able to be stay awake for Watching What Happens Live? I'm so tired. It was two parts. Was it 2 hours or was it 1 hour that were 30 minutes each? I don't know. But I watched all of it.
What did you think?
I thought it was interesting that Mikey is like, yes, yes, work it. Orgasm on that bed. Yes. Triple orgasm. Go, girl. Yes. Pat your puss. Put your finger in your vagina. Yes. Oh, my God. Like, also him being so upset with her that she didn't have the energy. I'm like, when she first did this, she was in her mid-40s. Now she's, you know, 52, 53 years old. The girl's tired. She's been through menopause. I don't care how skinny she is. Give her a minute. You know, give her a minute. And I thought it was very interesting, too. It was, I think it was in the second part where production, they were saying, we have to have this very serious conversation with Erica. So we have to take our mics off. We have to take our mics off. It's personal. You guys don't need to see it. And production is like fighting with Mikey. Like, well, it's not going to be as good for the show if we're not being authentic. Like, if you take your mics off, then we're not going to get actually what's happening here. It's not a real production. And he's like, I don't care. This is super personal. So I guess he takes his mic off, but he goes over to talk to Erica, who has a mic on. So we heard the whole thing anyway. So it was like,
what was it that was so personal?
He's going to have to cut this number because it doesn't have enough energy. Like, nobody's trying here. Nobody, you know, he was like, and then he's like crying every 5 minutes, just, ooh, just crying. Just like, oh my God, Mikey, why are you crying? It's going to be okay.
Oh,
it's going to be
God,
okay, Mikey
man.
Minden. He was like, we're back. Yes. Love Mikey. Love him. I love his heart. I love his emotion. I liked how they were showing. They were showing Erica things on a phone, like from 2015 when she first started and stuff like that.
And having her relearn steps, like moves that she had already done before.
No, like her when she first started Housewives, like showing her confessionals and stuff.
Oh.
And having her comment on stuff about Tom and, you know. And,
oh, so it wasn't just about the show. It was like her journey.
Her journey.
To get, okay.
I'd watch it again. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I mean, at the end, we got to see most all the production numbers because the show's not running anymore. So that's why they put it out afterwards because you can't see it now. But we saw it. Listen, if it comes to my town, I'll go.
I mean, I saw her when she came to the Howard Theater in 2018.
Yeah,
and it was literally 43 minutes beginning to end.
Yes.
Nothing
that's
else.
That's my kind of show. That's my kind of show. Yes.
How long is John Hill going to be when we see him next week?
I know. I think John Hill's show is at least like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Funny. I'm dying. And then Kathy, finally, what did you think of Kathy's big bombshell that she thinks that the deterioration of Kyle and Mauricio has been going on for years?
I think it all comes down to that lawsuit that he had. And
can
then
you
he keeps opening
lawsuit?
Businesses.
I'm not as familiar with it.
Okay. So I think it has to do, and please correct me if I'm wrong
don't.
I don't know. I think it has to do, remember several seasons ago, they had a party at some huge house that was in Mexico. It was and it was a property he was selling. It was like a $40 million home or something. And it was right there, like in Cabo. And the girls were all staying there and they had a big party there. But he was like, I'm selling this with the agency. I think it's that specific house. I think that he was. And I don't understand real estate, but I believe he was the broker on both ends, buyer and seller. So he was representing the house, and then he was representing also the person who was buying the house, which you can do. But there's some legalities around it.
Like disclosure.
And he didn't bring a second buyer to the seller to say, hey, somebody else is also making an offer, because he wasn't representing that person. So he didn't, as the broker for the person representing the home, he didn't bring that second buyer to the seller.
Which was because, his, like, kind of, like, his responsibility.
Yeah.
His, what did it call it, fiduciary, whatever.
Just to say, hey, here's all the offers on the table. I'm representing one of them, but here's another offer that I'm not representing, which wouldn't benefit him, obviously. My understanding is that's what happened. He didn't bring that other offer. So the seller didn't even know. So he was able to, you know, get commission on both ends. But let's just say the seller would have liked that other offer, then he wouldn't have gotten the commission on the second end.
So who was he sued by? The person that hired him to sell
their
house?
I believe he was sued by the person who hired him to sell the house because they're like,
we could have gotten a better offer with this other person.
Yeah, we could have gotten a better offer with somebody else. Yeah. That's my understanding as a high level understanding. And Kyle being also at some point having a real estate license can fully understand like how bad that is, I think.
Where is this lawsuit now?
No, now listen, don't ask me any follow-up questions.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
We'll have to go to the Bravo doc at Lady Sessie and Angela, because yes, right. I certainly don't know. For some reason, this, like, I've heard of it, but I get it confused with, because, you know, Muhammad Hadid also has, like, weird real estate things.
Like, yeah, he built, like, a house that he didn't have to take half of it down.
Yes. Yes. And I get those two things confused.
Yes. Yes. I can see. It's all way above
it's
our
like
pay grade.
So much money and so big of houses, it's, like, hard for me to keep track.
Can you even grasp the amount of $300,000 a month?
No.
It's hard to grasp $300,000 in a year, much less $300,000 a month.
You mean like Sutton, what she gets in alimony? Yeah.
Yes. I can't get over that amount. I can't
get over
it.
And then she says, and that's after taxes.
And that's after taxes. That doesn't even, I mean, and then she doesn't probably pay for the kids' schooling or anything. So it's not like she's got a pull to pay for everything for the kids with that. He's paying for all the, that's just profit for herself.
But what I think is even crazier to think about is think how much money she has in the market. Right? Like
she partially owns some of those baseball teams and things.
Yeah,
like,
she's got
wow.
assets all over the place. She's got her money spread wide and like very, very intentionally. Like, yeah, okay, let's say you get $300,000 a month. Let's say you invest just $300,000 in a couple of companies that you think are on the up and up. I invested a lot less than that in all of those, like Ozempic, Wegovy, companies, because even before it came to market, I was like, this is going to be transformational if it works. And especially when it's showing the potential to treat certain addictions and nail biting and like a bunch of other issues, I was like, this is the future. So I put money in, and my dad was looking at me like, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
And so
I should have done that.
Right. But it's not like I had that much money. So it's not, but like to see where it is now versus where I invested it is wild to me. And we're talking nowhere near even like a fraction of what she gets per month. So
that's why she's a good housewife, because she's just blatantly rich. Like that Diane Jink is just blatantly rich. Love to see it. That's what I love in my housewife.
Yeah. But Diana wasn't interesting enough. She just like she wouldn't open up.
She just licked her lips a lot. Yeah.
Well, Mary Payne, thank you so much for joining and discussing some of these crazy Bravo things. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to your podcast, and anything else you want to plug, any live shows, anything.
Okay. Well, here we go. So my podcast is Pink Shade. You can follow me on Instagram at Pink Shade Pod, doing a lot of Love is Blind reels and stuff because we were covering that over in Prime, but we're dropping a few on the free feed as well, just kind of as they go, like just not all of them because people are paying for them over in Prime, but dropping a few covering 90 Day Fiancé, Love After Lockup, Bravo on Thursdays. On the weekends, we cover Seeking Sister Wife, another 90 Day Fiancé that's on because there's always at least two at a time. And I tell you what, that I'm going to be in LA in a couple of weeks. And on Saturday, March 30th, I'm going to have a Bunky meetup. It's not a live show. It's just going to be a Bunky meetup at the Mosaic Hotel. So if you want to know about that, that'll all be announced on Instagram and stuff. We're kind of working out the details right now. I just talked to the guy at the hotel we're staying at last night, actually. And he was like, yeah, sure. Sounds great. Mostly people will like charge you a huge amount for a space. But he was like, we ended up talking about podcasts. He wanted to talk to me about real estate. He was like, do you know any real estate podcasts? I was like, no, I do not.
You're like, but I do watch Million Dollar Listing LA.
So have you heard about that show? I really was like, do you watch any Bravo? He's like, no. I was like, nah. He did like true crime. So I told him to listen to A Date with Dateline. So he was happy for that recommendation. But yeah, no, so that's just what's going on. Live shows. Not really my jam. I don't really like people to look at me that much. And
oh, you're beautiful.
It doesn't matter.
I know, it's just sometimes like a lot of eyes on you is overwhelming.
I don't enjoy that at all. But just follow me over there on the Instagram at Pink Shade Pod. And then the podcast is Pink Shade if you're interested in the other reality shows besides Bravo.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you. I'm going to see you next week.
Yes. And I'll talk about it on the podcast. We're going to go see John Hill. He's very excited to meet someone who has Slut in their last name. So
he was like, her name is not Mandy Slut. I was like, well, it's Sloot, but okay.
I'm really excited to meet him too.
Yeah. It's going to be great.